Hi there, and welcome to this computerweekly.com podcast on storage and AI. I'm Anthony Adshead, storage editor with Computer Weekly. With me today, I have Grant Cayley, who is UK and Ireland Solutions Director for NetApp. Hi there, Grant.
Hi, Anthony. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure, Grant. So I'll get straight into the first question, and it is, from the point of view of storage, what's different about AI workloads? Over to you.
Yeah, that's an interesting one because in traditional enterprise workloads, they're fairly well defined as to the characteristics of that workload, the requirements for that workload. With AI, it's completely different. You know, AI starts off being very small in terms of development. It can rapidly scale to multi-petabyte production installations that span not just on-premise, but the cloud as well. So when you're looking at it from an AI workload perspective, it's almost completely different from a kind of a siloed focused enterprise application. And that means you're having to cope with different performance requirements. The capacities you're having to host for AI from a data perspective go from, you know, just gigabytes through to petabytes of data, which has its own challenges. And interestingly enough, as well, from an AI workload perspective, you're often having to wrangle large data sets, move them around, clone them, copy them, get them ready for cleaning, you know, inputting, and then using for inferencing. So there's a lot of high maintenance which goes around about the kind of requirements that sit with AI as well. And another interesting fact is that we see now that AI is not just an on-premise play. It's an AWS, Azure, Google play as well. Customers are developing and leveraging all of those environments as well as their data centers to deliver AI. And from what we've seen recently, you know, AI is becoming the IP of the company, the data which it leverages and the output which it produces. So security of that data is critical. Being able to evidence the data, checkpoint it, version it, you know, because of some of the laws which are coming in around about AI, all of that makes a massive difference to how we have to treat it. And then ultimately as well, if you look at AI in general compared to any enterprise workload, the actual workflow is really complex, and you have to kind of factor that into how you deliver for AI. So yeah, there's a lot going on that's different about, you know, workloads in an AI context.
Thanks, Grant. So the next question is what does storage need to cope with AI workloads? Over to you again.
Yeah, and it kind of builds on the last, you know, kind of answer I gave, I guess, is as customers start developing AI, they often start off in the cloud because the tool sets are there, the platforms. They don't have to spend a lot of money building environments. So you have to be able to leverage the cloud. But equally, a lot of customers are doing it on-premise. They're building small GPU platforms in servers. You know, they're developing into bigger GGX style or into using NVIDIA's phrases, super pods and those types of configurations. So what's key underneath all of that from a storage perspective is the data that drives the outcomes they're trying to do, whether it's the early development stages in the cloud or moving to kind of first step production on premise, to even then how they push out data for inferencing where it's actually needed. That could be small factories, remote sites, whatever that happens to be. So data mobility from the storage layer is actually key. And that means that you have to not build storage silos for each of those use cases. You have to really try and straddle those use cases and deliver something which delivers data mobility. You know, we used to talk about delivering a data fabric, but it is that kind of interconnectivity that's really important. I think the other thing for AI as well is that it starts off low performance when you're doing your first early stages of training, but that rapidly can scale. So performance is a big factor. You need to know that the storage can deliver from the small requirements through to the productionized and the scale requirements. And a lot of companies forget about that when they go to productionize. You know, they have created these silos of different types of storage, not realizing that ultimately at some point they're going to have to scale those significantly. And scale is another factor the storage has to deliver. As I said, it could be gigabytes in the early days, but rapidly that can become petabytes, particularly as companies bring data sets together to try and maximize the training value and the outcomes they can deliver of that. But of course, the data, as I said before, is the IP of the company. You have to put that into a storage infrastructure that delivers zero trust administration, that delivers, you know, security, encryption of the data, that it can make it, if you're doing versioning and kind of evidence-based, you know, looking at AI, that you can make those results immutable or indelible so that you can potentially prove the data as it was and the stages it went through. So there's a lot of things you need to do. And I think the final thing on what data storage needs to deliver is you need to be able to deliver integration into all the tools the customer is looking to use. You know, they're looking at Kubernetes workloads, they're delivering it through Kubernetes. They're looking at using different frameworks on premise in the cloud. Your AI, your storage layer, if it's going to deliver real value, has to be able to API integrate into all those different environments to maximize, you know, the capabilities that can be delivered from the storage layer itself.
Yeah, so I'd like to drill down a little bit more now, Grant, and looking at the ways in which data is held for AI, the type of data, such as vectors, such as the needs of checkpointing, such as the frameworks that get used, like TensorFlow and PyTorch. Is there anything in those that dictate the way we need to hold data in storage, the type of storage, I guess?
No, it's interesting because I think there's a couple of things. One is the AI community doesn't adhere to a lot of standards. They've got the each developer AI, or data scientist, if you like, has their own set of tools that they prefer to use. It's only as these things scale to production that you start to get standards forced in terms of, okay, we're going to use these frameworks, we're going to use these technologies. And consequently, the storage layer that sits underneath has to be able to accommodate all of those. Otherwise, you're buying different types of requirement for different types of customer, different types of use case. So absolutely key is the fact that the data storage can integrate into the Kubernetes platform for a start. Most outcomes like PyTorch, TensorFlow, et cetera, they're using Kubernetes to scale their kind of their environment. So integrating into Kubernetes to be able to make that an automated, seamless capability is important. But there are other tool sets that are using as well. A lot of developing stuff leveraging Python, you need to do API integration into that. And you know, we developed our own toolkits for Python integration to make that easier for customers. But then there's ancillary technologies that sit around AI, like Kafka, and how you do, you know, the data flows, the data cleaning, the data cleansing, the processing, et cetera. All of these can benefit from the advantages that storage can bring if it can integrate the storage features like instant cloning, instant checkpointing, instant rollbacks, all of these kind of neat types of things into those different tools that customers have. You need flexibility because you need to be able to deliver for AI on premise, at the edge, and in the cloud. So having a standardized data layer, such as, you know, NetApp could deliver, for example, can really help reduce that complexity. And you need to be able to ultimately, and it's back to security of data, it's almost one of the top priorities we get asked about in AI, particularly recently with a lot of the legislations that have been raised, is around about can we secure this data? Can we put zero trust? Can we make it available and highly available? All of these are concerns that you need to consider depending on the tools, the frameworks. It doesn't really matter which tools or frameworks you're using. All of these kind of things are important, you know, integrating into NeMo, integrating into Jupyter notebooks, you know, GPU Direct with NVIDIA, Python, Kubeflow, all of these technologies. If the storage layer can integrate into those and provide value into that, that massively helps reduce complexity and provide better go-to-market outcomes for the customer.
Thanks, Grant. It's been really interesting. It's been a pleasure talking to you. But that's all the time we have for now. But yeah, thank you very much, Grant.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And that's the end of the podcast. For more data storage and backup content, please check out computerweekly.com/storage.